Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ACC News, the unique internet broadcast series that brings you together with some of the most amazing and interesting individuals from the world of business, industry, health and wellness, art, entertainment, and many more. From company owners, CEOs, and presidents, to the most inspiring people who create the magic behind the scenes that make their company's products and services so special. Here is your opportunity to live their experience and journeys through the words of the ones that actually made it possible. Live worldwide. This is ACC Global News. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to ACC Global News. We are back. We are live again worldwide. Welcome all of our listeners from North America and also from overseas. I am your host, Matthew Connor. And again, I am very happy to be back with you today. We have another wonderful guest to introduce to you. Her name is Dr. Susan Gregg. And Dr. Susan Gregg is a life coach and author. Now, you're really truly going to be amazed at how she really looks at life and the methods that she uses in helping other people as well. Now, to remind you, today is Thursday, the 9th of June. It is 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, for all of the listeners who live abroad, please be aware that our interview today with Dr. Susan Gregg will be archived on the ACC Global Media Blog Talk Radio site. So you can enjoy our interview really any time of the day. Now, a little bit about Susan. She will be speaking about the Toltec tradition. Now, this is really a way of life that offers you, let's say, complete freedom, really to be your authentic self, to live life, a life of, like, love rather than fear. And as you know, so many of us are really very fearful these days. So it's really a way that truly sets you free. And Susan herself was once in a dark place at some period of her life, and this new path, way of life, was it really completely turned things around for her. So Dr. Susan Gregg has over 20 years of working experience with others. She is the author of over 14 books, some of which she will also share with us today. And Susan's motto, which she really calls her bottom line, is everything begins with love, and only love is real. To the audience today, I am very proud to introduce to you Dr. Susan Gregg. How are you doing today, Susan?
Good. How are you doing, Matthew?
I'm doing very well. So, really, to begin, Susan, can you really explain to our audience, who is Dr. Susan Gregg?
Okay, well, I'm me, you know, and the me that's me has changed exponentially over the years. I spent most of my childhood depressed and suicidal, and then I went on to college, and I began exploring the nature of physical reality. And literally, I mean, I kept getting into dark places. You know, I would think the answer was out there, you know, a relationship, a job, whatever.
Yes.
And, you know, the happiness, the depression always lurked in the background. And it really changed when I went to California, and I went to the wrong church. My friend in Vermont had told me about a spiritualist church in San Diego, and at certain time, certain name, certain address. And that Saturday, I looked in the church section, and there was a church that met there, different name, different time. And I thought, well, how many churches can there be in one address? So I went, and I didn't find out till like 3 years later that the other church actually did exist. And the woman that ran the church embraced me and told everybody I was an amazing healer and teacher. And I thought, she's crazy because I don't know nothing. And within a couple of weeks, she asked me to go to the barrio. There was a woman that I needed to meet named Sister Sarita. And I went, and I kind of looked, and everybody was doing all sorts of weird things. And I just sat there, and this little short Mexican guy came over and motioned me into the center of the circle. And I looked around to see what other people were doing. I did the same thing, and then I ran to sit down. And a few minutes later, everything was done in Spanish. And a few minutes later, he came over and asked me to be their student. And didn't make much sense because I didn't understand Spanish, but I said yes. And I wound up studying with them for a number of years. And the little short Mexican guy was Don Miguel Ruiz. And many years later, he wrote the Four Agreements. And that
really?
Was the beginning of an amazing journey that totally changed my life. You know, I went from having lurking depression to waking up happy, you know, and just enjoying life. And, you know, I was able to embrace love that was totally love-based rather than fear-based love. You know, fear-based love is, you know, I'll love you if you do this. You know, if you do that, I won't love
yes.
you.
Yes.
So, you know, it's been an amazing journey. And to say that my life has changed would be, you know, an understatement. So, you know, it is all about love in my book, you know. So.
And that's a wonderful story. Susan, explain to the audience why you really chose life coaching.
Well, as I was doing this, I mean, Miguel and Sarita were wonderful, but they were of the school, here's the information, do it. And so I was like, how? And I struggled, you know, I mean, I literally struggled to really apply the principles at a deep level. And so I thought, wow, you know, if I could help other people find shortcuts to happiness, that would be an incredible gift. And as I began doing that, it, you know, people talk about life's purpose. I mean, I think our life's purpose is to wake up to who and what we are and then just enjoy life. And
yeah.
I enjoy working with people. I mean, I absolutely enjoy, I call it, I love watching the lights come on. And when I used to do coaching face-to-face, all of a sudden, you know, the light would come back in their eyes and you could see the you know, the wow experience. You know, doing it on
I know
the phone,
it's a good feeling.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And, you know, doing it on the phone, obviously I can't see their eyes, but I can hear it in their voice. I can hear when they've made that change. And I know as long as they, you know, practice some really simple things like loving themselves, that their lives will continue to change and just be awesome. So that's, you know, I love helping people.
Well, Susan, with issues going on right now, issues like depression at an all-time high, what type of method or approach you would use in order to help someone come out of this dark place?
Well, first of all of our emotions are created by the stories we tell ourselves. You know, it took me a long time to realize that for myself, but literally I told myself things about my past that continued to create depression. And so one of the things I do is I help people see the story, and then, you know, it's like, how else can we see this? One of the questions I suggest people ask themselves is, how could I see this through the eyes of love? And when I do that, everything changes. You know, I was kidnapped and molested as a very young girl. And that experience weighed heavily on my psyche, you know. And then it was like, well, how else can I see this? And I realized that based on the beliefs I held at that point, that, you know, I was a victim to life, them molesting me made sense. And
to be honest, Susan, you have a truly, I'm sorry to cut you off, but you have a truly amazing story. And I really want you to share some of your journey with the audience of to really how you got to where you are right now.
Okay. Well, I grew up in New York City, and from the get-go, I was an explorer. I used to sneak out at night as a young girl and just explore. And I grew up in the 50s, and it was very much, I lived right at the edge of the Bronx. And, you know, it was all about gangs and stuff like that and violence. And I used to just love to explore and meet new people. And I would frequently come home bloody because I wandered into somebody's territory where I shouldn't have been. And
really?
My mother, she said she cried the day she did it, but she taught me how to fight dirty. And after that, I never came home bloody, you know. And like I said, I was abducted by a couple of kids and molested and didn't tell anybody, you know, and carried that as, you know, this shameful experience.
Oh, that must have been hard.
Yeah, it was, you know. I mean, and my mother kept telling me, don't go, you know, just go to school and come home. And, of course, I never did. And had I gone to school that day and just come home, I wouldn't have been abducted and molested. So, I mean, it was like, see what happens when you do something wrong. And I just carried that and didn't know what to do with it exactly.
It's
and then,
really a traumatic experience.
Yeah, it was. You know, and a lot of people, you know, their entire lives are affected by that. And my life was affected negatively back then, but then as I began to change my story, I saw it from a totally different perspective. You know, like you said in the introduction, everything begins with love. And, excuse me, so one of the things I started to do was literally love these boys. I mean, it was a horrible experience for me, but they had to carry the guilt of what they did. And, you know, who knows, they might have gone on to be rapists and they're in prison or dead. But I, for myself, had to be able to love and forgive them.
Yes. That must have been a very tough thing to do.
Yes and no. You know, I mean, it took me years to get to the point that I realized that there was an event, you know, and being abducted and molested is totally emotionally neutral. It took me a while to get that one. Until I tell myself a story about it. You know, like incest. I mean, incest is, you know, a horrible, life-changing experience. But in ancient Egypt, it was the thing to do. You know, so it wasn't a horrible experience. So what I learned to do was tell myself a different story about what happened to me. You know, it certainly wasn't like, oh, wow, you know, I got molested. But it was, I could start to see how, you know, these boys were damaged, you might say. You know, I mean, for them, for anybody to use violence against another human being, there's got to be something odd in their thinking process.
Yes, I agree.
And so I began to tell myself a different story about it and let go of the, isn't this an awful thing that happened? You know, I came together with these, you know, three other people, and we all had an experience. And mine wasn't particularly pleasant. I doubt if theirs was either. I mean, yes, it was about power, and they got to succeed and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, in the middle of the night, in the dark of the night, how does a person like that feel? And so when I started thinking about it that way, I began to have compassion for them. And my experience changed, and in doing that, I was able to love at a deeper level. You know, and helping people find a different way to tell a different story. I mean, you know, with the terrorism that's going on now, you know, these jihadists, I mean, they're very angry, they're very disconnected from love, and, you know, they claim to be doing what they're doing for Allah, you know, and what God would want somebody else to kill somebody? I don't think any, you know, and so they're disconnected, and it's interesting because, you know, to me, everything's about story, and I've just had some amazing experiences as I really began to connect, excuse me, it's 6 o'clock in the morning here, so my voice isn't fully awake, you know, amazing experiences. You know, I've taken groups through riots, not intentionally, but, you know, in Egypt one time I took a group to go meditate between the paws of the Sphinx, and, you know, I noticed there was a little chaos when we left the hotel, but I didn't think much of it, and we came back around 5 in the morning, and, you know, the street had a lot of broken bottles and stuff that hadn't been there, you know, earlier. And when I went to breakfast the next morning, I found out that there had been a riot, and we had walked right through it, and there had been several people killed. And, you know, I find that when we're really connected with that love, that kind of stuff happens. You know, Egypt and I seem to have an interesting relationship. I had scheduled a trip to go there, and 6 months before the trip, I called the travel agent. I said, we have to go a day earlier. And she said, we can't do that. Everything's been scheduled. And I said, well, then we'll have to cancel the trip. So she changed everything. We went a day earlier, and we had been booked on the flight that the Egypt Air flight that the co-pilot dove into the ocean and killed everybody. You know, and had I not listened to that, I got to change the flight.
Oh, my goodness.
I would have been dead. And those are the kind of things that happen when we really, really connect with the essence of who and what we are. You know, we have altogether different experiences. So,
Susan, can you really explain to the audience what exactly is the Toltec tradition?
Okay. Well, the Toltec tradition first showed up on the scene in the 70s with Carlos Castaneda and Don Juan, and it was all about drugs and odd experiences and weirdnesses. And when I started studying with Miguel and Sarita, they never used the word Toltec. We just did, you know, meditations and energy work and all different stuff. And then when he wrote the Four Agreements, it was all about Toltec. And I was like, oh, okay, it was a Toltec tradition. And what it is it's a philosophy. I mean, it's certainly not a religion or anything like that. It's just based on some principles that, you know, he summarized it in the Four Agreements. But it's just a way of life where you realize that you are the creative force in your life. And that you're we're not this physical body. What we are is we're the energy that gives life to this body. And the more profoundly you connect with that energy, the more, one of the things I say, magic and miracles happen in your life. And that certainly has been my experience. You know, if you connect with that, and what that spirit is pure, unconditional love. And the more we ask ourselves, like, the question, how can I see this through the eyes of love? You know, what would love do? The first, I do a lot of my work internationally, and the first time I went to Lithuania, there was a Russian man in the class, and he kept wanting me to talk about power. And I would say, yeah, love. You know, love is the greatest power there is. He was like, no, you don't understand what you're talking about, power. And love, that unconditional love, is the greatest power there is on earth. And so the Toltec tradition is a way of connecting with that, realizing that you do have the power to change your experience of life, and you don't have to change anything out there. And once you change what's going on inside, out there changes, which at some level doesn't make much sense, but that's the way it works. And the Toltec were, they were
I was about to ask, where exactly did this tradition originate from?
Yeah, in Mexico. You know, they were a very much a warrior race. And the way I talk about the Toltec is they came in, and Teotihuacan was the seat of power, so to speak. And they conquered Teotihuacan. And I talk about the ancient ones, which predate the Toltecs, and the ancient ones knew how to do incredible things. You know, they could do healings literally by reaching into somebody's body and manipulating what was going on in there. And the Toltecs, being warriors, like, wow, that's kind of neat. You know, and so what they did is they embraced the ability and they would stand on the top of the pyramid and rip somebody's heart out while it was still beating, which is a very
wonderful,
you know, powerful way to control the masses. You know, it's like, oh, I don't want that guy getting mad at me.
Yes.
So, you know, the basic, really the loving, powerful part of the Toltec tradition is from a race of people I call the Ancient Ones. It was funny, the first time I did an interview, my father was not wild about what I did, and he had seen a National Geographic piece about the Toltecs, and the Toltecs had, they used to eat babies' brains, and they figured it was because it made them more powerful.
Eat babies' brains?
Yeah, and so luckily my father had seen it, and he was like, you know, this, you know, eating babies' brains. And so one of the first questions the interviewer asked me is, you know, why would you want to embrace a philosophy of people that ate babies' brains? And had my father not given me a heads up, I would have been stymied, you know. And, you know, the love
part
of the Toltec tradition.
And...
yeah, weird, you know. But, you know, the basic philosophy of the Ancient Ones, the ones that the Toltec got the wisdom from, they didn't eat babies' brains, you know, and it was all about love. And to me, that's a wonderful example of what happens when we kind of dilute something and we include fear-based love. So.
And there's a lot of fear-based love out there.
Yeah, I mean, the jihadists are a perfect example of that. I mean, Muslims, and you know, and it's not about any of that, you know. I mean, it's people have infused a religion with anger and fear, you know, and I see that in Christianity too. I mean, you know, one of the basic tenets Jesus taught was judge not, and you know, I see an awful lot of judgment in fundamentalist Christians, and I think if Jesus was able, he'd come down and whack them aside the head and say, love, you know, love-based love, none of this judgment stuff, you know.
All right, so Susan, what I basically want to know, with your practice, is it really limited to helping people with certain problems, or could this just be any one of us looking to live a more fulfilling life?
Yeah, I mean, it is. Because ultimately, I mean, you might kind of show up on my door because you're experiencing depression or you don't have enough money or, you know, you've been trying to lose weight and you can't lose weight. And those external issues, I think, are what drive us to find the solution by connecting with that power of unconditional love, you know. And so basically I work with people with a wide array of issues. And, you know, sometimes they'll get frustrated because I keep bringing them back to, you know, how can you see this through the eyes of love? And what I do is I'm very eclectic as far as, you know, I've read and studied many, many, many philosophies, and I'm very practical. And one of the things I always tell people is spiritual practices take practice, you know, and I think of it as learning a new language. You know, we know the language of fear. And it's about learning the language of love. And we need to learn the grammar and the syntax and the vocabulary. And so practice. And I give people very concrete exercises and say, okay, go forth and do this for a couple of weeks, and then we'll talk again. Yeah. So.
And I'd like to, and so Susan, explain to the audience really some of the results that they could potentially receive from participating in one of your programs.
One of my students was a woman that was practically housebound. She was very, very fear-based, and we worked together for a while. And she, I mean, whenever I think of her, I just smile. And she decided that she needed to get out of the house, and she decided to volunteer for a organization that brought meals to shut-ins. You would think
okay.
that was a wonderful thing. She volunteered, and they paired her up with this guy that the first time they went out, they drove past this dirt road, and he said, I could take somebody down there and kill him and they'd never find the body. Now, here's a fear-based woman in a car with this guy. And, you know, I mean, most people
it's
would just kind of go, okay, yeah, I'm not doing this. And bless her heart, she, you know, she didn't jump right out of the car. They delivered their meals. And when she got back to the office, she talked to the supervisor. And she continued to work there. And I just, and it just amazed me that somebody that was a shut-in and exposed to some weirdo that's talking about killing people. And, it, you know, in her heart, she just wanted to help people. So she continued to go. And so, I mean, those kind of results
happen. That must have been a big step for her. Yes.
Yeah, a very big step. You know, and I was so proud of her for going and talking to the supervisor. I don't know if they excluded the guy from the program, but she obviously never got paired up with him again. And she just really enjoyed meeting these shut-ins and bringing them food. You know, so I think that's quite remarkable to go from being afraid to leave your house to doing
it. Oh, it definitely
that.
Is.
Yeah. So that's one of my favorite stories, you know. And you know, one of my other students, she desperately wanted a relationship. And I kept saying, no, you're not going to find the love out there. You got to learn to love yourself. And she was like, no, you don't understand. And at that point, I lived in this really cute little cottage that was up over a garage, and it was four houses from the beach. And so I used to have my kayak downstairs and take my kayak and kayak every day. And there was a feral cat community, so I started feeding the cats and trapping the cats so that we wouldn't have more cats. And she's like, I don't want to become a crazy old lady living in a garage with cats. And I was like, you're not gonna. I said, just learn to love yourself. And it took her a while, and finally she was like, okay, and she started doing the exercises and really loving herself. And she went out on her birthday, and she met this guy at the restaurant, and they wound up getting married, you know, and happily ever after kind of married. You know, and so it just cracked me up. I mean, she never did come to me and say, oh, okay. But, you know, I got to see that this woman that desperately wanted love learned to love herself and then found somebody that could love her the way she deserved. So.
And it's good. I know that you get a lot of personal satisfaction. So can you really explain to the audience how you really feel when you do see others benefit from your program?
It, you know, to say that it makes my day would be an understatement. You know, it's like I just love to celebrate other people's success. You know, and the more we're able to do that in our lives, I think the more success kind of comes our way. You know, because we open up the door. You know, I mean, if we're jealous and, you know, it's like, well, like a lot of times I hear people that don't have enough money and they talk about the rich people, how awful the rich people are. You know,
I hear it all the time.
Yeah, and it's like, well, as long as you have that attitude, the likelihood of you having abundance in your life is pretty much nil and zip. But once you can celebrate what people have created and really look at it and go, wow, isn't that neat? You know, and so working with people, I mean, that's my experience. You know, I get to watch them change and grow and literally say, wow, isn't that neat? You know?
Susan, what I do want everybody to know is that you are a wonderful author as well. Our research team really has learned that you're an author of many really amazing books. Can you share with the audience a few of those books that you have written and where they will be able to go to purchase one?
Sure. My first book was a book called Dance of Power, and it was the story of my apprenticeship with Sarita and Don Miguel. And it's one of my favorites. All of my books are available on Amazon, and you can actually, well, you have to be persistent. There's another author that used to go by the name of Susan Gilmore, but when I started writing, she started going by the name Susan Gregg Gilmore. So another book that I wrote is, so you have to, if you go to Amazon and type in Susan Gregg, you have to be persistent about Susan Gregg and not Susan Gregg Gilmore.
Okay,
you can also go to my website.
Yes, we have about 30 seconds left. If you could please explain to them, Susan, where the audience would be able to go to sign up for your program or learn more about you.
Sure, they can go to SusanGregg.com, and it's GREGG.com. And I have a program right now where people can sign up for a free life assessment call. And, you know, usually in that hour we can make a difference in their life. And they can go to SusanGregg.com/yes, and that'll take them to the page where they can sign up for that free session.
Okay, and we are just about out of time today. Susan, it was wonderful having you on today. It was really an honor. Everybody, again, please visit her at SusanGregg.com. Please also tune in tomorrow at 12 noon for our next upcoming episode. And Susan, you have a wonderful day. And to everybody, this is Matthew Connor. I'm signing out.
Thanks, Matthew.
You're welcome. You have a great day.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.